الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Most respected elder and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is divided into two geographical locations, the life in Makkatul Mukarrama and the life in Madinatul Munawwara. After Nubuwwat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in Makkatul Mukarrama for 13 years. And in Madinatul Munawwara for 10 years. The life in Makkatul Mukarrama was a life of oppression and persecution. In the face of all that oppression and persecution, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam two orders for him and for the Sahaba. The first, fa'afu wasfahu. Forgive, overlook, tolerate. Irrespective of that oppression and persecution, don't retaliate. And then at night, engage yourself in tahajjud, qiyamul layl, and it is with the spiritual exercise combat the challenges of the day. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila. O you who is shrouded, stand up at night and engage yourself in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala even says that how Allah knows the Sahaba, they would stand up at night, more than half the night, half night, lesser than night, lesser than half night, and turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They knew in the day there's oppression and persecution, but at night they turned to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And it was with their spiritual strength they were able to overcome the challenges of the day, and they persevered in the cause of Islam. In Madinatul Munawwara, the situation was totally different. The moment Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran Kareem, Uzina lil ladhina yuqataluna bi annahum zulimu wa inna Allah ala nasrihim laqadir. Allah has given you permission to fight back with those people that oppress you because you are being oppressed. And Allah is capable to help, Allah is capable to assist. And from this point, the various wars of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place. There were two types of wars. There were those that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally took part. That is called a ghazwa. And there are those wars that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispatched the Sahaba and he himself did not go. That is called Sariya. Some of the major wars in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself took part was the Battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, the incident of Ahzab, where all the alliance of the kuffar got together to attack Islam and the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara. Then there was the war with the Jews in Khaybar, very rich, well-developed nation. Then there was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Immediately after that, before coming to Madinatul Munawwara, there was the incident of Hunain, where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to battle with the Thaqif and Hawazin tribes, two powerful tribes of the Arabs. And lastly, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, shortly before the demise of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the incident of Tabuk took place. It was marching for a war against the most powerful empire of the world, the Roman Empire. Today we will discuss briefly the Battle of Badr and the main points of the Battle of Badr. Now Badr is a place not far away from Madinah to Munawwara, approximately 80 kilometers. People, it's a very well developed place, and people go there, they would go to the graveyard where the Badriyin Sahaba are buried. They would go to the Masjid al-Arish, where Nabi Kareem Sallam camped during the Battle of Badr. And obviously, for many people, Badr is also known for the fish that is there. But that fish is not significant to the war. Anyway, the people of Makkah Mukarramah used to travel to Sham for business and economic purposes. And in Madina Munawwara used to come in between. Now, because there was a strained relationship between the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba and the Muslims, they were always worried and concerned how they're going to travel to Sham because Madina comes in between. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madina Munawwara, he heard of the caravan of Abu Sufyan traveling to Sham, to Syria. In the first instance, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dispatched a group of Sahaba to attack that caravan and to take over that caravan. Somehow, Abu Sufyan with his caravan slipped away and they proceeded to Sham. Once again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard that the caravan of Abu Sufyan is returning from Sham. It was a caravan with lots and lots of goods, lots and lots of merchandise, and probably every family of Makkah had put in some money for that merchandise. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a group of Sahaba and they proceeded to go and capture that caravan. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time leading the kuffar, he heard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba trying to approach the caravan in the state of panic. He sent a person by the name of Zamzam Ghifari to Makkah Mukarramah to go tell Abu Jahl and the kuffar, the leader of Makkah, to come and give them support and to protect the caravan. But in the meantime, Allah had made it such that Abu Sufyan took another route, the coastal route, and he proceeded to Makkatul Mukarramah. The caravan was saved. On this side, Abu Jahl was enraged. He encouraged the people of Makkah to prepare an army and to go and fight with the Muslims in Medina. He prepared a huge, powerful army of 1,000 people. And now, he proceeds to Madinah Munawwara. It was told to him, our objective was just to protect the caravan, to save the caravan because of a large amount of monies and the merchandise that was in it. It would have an effect on our economy. The caravan has come away. There's no need for us to go and fight with the Muslims. But enmity, animosity had the better of him, and he decided that he's going to proceed no matter what. On this side in Madinatul Munawwara, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed this verse. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقِّ وَيُبْتِلَ الْبَاطِلِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the two things is going to happen. Either you're going to capture a caravan, or it's going to be a confrontation with the enemies of Islam. Obviously, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, they hoped just to capture the caravan and not to engage in a fully bloated war. And this is a teaching of Islam, where you can have it the easy way out, why not? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah, salullaha al-afiyah, ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for afiyat, for goodness. But if you are faced with a situation of war, now you are going to be firm, you're going to be steadfast, and you're going to take the enemy by the head and by the horn. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in order to capture the caravan, he took a group of Sahaba and they proceeded in that direction. Came to a place called Rawha. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed at that place that Abu Jahl is coming with a huge powerful army. Now the whole situation has changed. From approaching to capture a caravan to a fully bloated war. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba for their advice, for their counsel, what should be done. And the reason Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought the counsel of the Sahaba is, when the Ansars, the tribes of Aus and Khazraj, met Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the valley of Mina, they told to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you come to Medina, in Medina we'll give you all the support that you require. So the help and assistance was whilst Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be in Medina, not out of Medina. And here, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is already out of Medina to confront the enemies, and they would be meeting up in Badr. So, one Sahabi, Hadhrat Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood up. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Ashiru ilayya ayyuhan nas, oh people, give me advice, give me your opinions, what should be done in this situation? Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala mentioned a very, very motivating statement and motivating speech. He said to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, imzi lima amaraka Allah. فَنَحْنُ مَعَكْ وَاللَّهُ لَا نَقُولْ كَمَا قَالَ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ لِمُوسَى اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ لَكِنْ نُقَاتِلْ عَنْ يَمِينِكْ وَعَنْ شِمَالِكْ وَعَنْ يَمِينِ وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْكْ وَخَلْفِكْ. He said, O Prophet of Allah, don't worry about us. Do whatever you have to do. We are with you. And we will not say, like how the Banu Israel told to Musa alayhi salam. There's a background to the statement. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, take the Banu Israel and go to Baytul Maqdis. They're the tribe of Amalaka, they're very powerful tribe. Go and fight with them. So Banu Israel, the follower of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Musa told him, Allah told that we should launch an attack in Baytul Maqdis. The tribe of Amalak are there. Don't look at the power of the tribe, look at the order of Allah. So, Banu Israel, they responded and they told to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Izhab anta wa rabbuk. You go and your Rabb go fight. We're not coming with you. Inna hauna qa'idun. We are going to remain seated here. We are not going to join you in the war. So Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't think we are the Banu Israel. We are your ardent followers. We are the Sahaba. We are those people that are prepared to do everything for you. So do whatever you have to do. We are with you. We will fight with you on your right. We will fight with you on your left. We will fight in front of you. We will fight behind you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a smile did come on his face. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted something else. He wanted somebody else to talk. So again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas, oh people, give me a counsel. Give me your opinion. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's focus was now on the Ansars. Because the plagues that took place in the valley to get the help and assistance and support in Madinah Munawwara, and this is going to be out of Madinah Munawwara, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not want to put them in a situation against the pledge. So, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the leader of the Ansars, he now stood up. And hear the statements that he has made. This just exemplifies the deep-rooted iman of the Sahaba and the deep-seated love from the corner of the stone of the heart for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu stood up and he says, Ya Rasulallah, قَدْ آمَنَّا بِكْ وَصَدَّقْنَاكْ وَشَهِدْنَا أَنَّ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. O Prophet of Allah, we brought iman in you. We made tasdeeq, we testified. And we bear witness whatever you have brought is the truth and the haqq. وَعَطَيْنَاكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عُهُودًا وَمَوَاثِيقَ عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ. We have given you pledges, O Prophet of Allah, that we are going to listen and we are going to obey. لَعَلَّكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ خَرَجْتَ لِأَمْرٍ حَدَثَ اللَّهَ غَيْرًا. He said, O Prophet of Allah, when you initially left Madinah Munawwara, we understand your predicament now. We understand your predicament now why you're out of Madinah Munawwara. This shows that how sensitive Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was in understanding the purpose of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking his counsel. He knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to the pledge in Bayatul Aqaba. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, you have come out for an issue, but Allah decided otherwise. So you came out to capture a caravan. Meanwhile, now the situation has turned. This is beyond your plan. It is by divine design. Then he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Famzi mimma shi'ta. وَسِلْ عِبَالَ مَنْ شِئْتِ وَقْتَ عِبَالَ مَنْ شِئْتِ سَالِمْ مَنْ شِئْتِ عَادِ مَنْ شِئْتِ وَخُدْ أَمْوَالَنَا مَا شِئْتِ وَأَعْطِنَا مَا شِئْتِ وَمَا أَخَصْتَ مِنَّا كَانَ حَبَّ إِلَيْنَا مِمَّا أَتَرَكْتِ. He said, O Prophet of Allah, do whatever you have to do. Maintain ties with who you have to. Break ties with who you have to. And make sulah with who you have to. Have war with whoever you wish to. And look at the statement. Take from our wealth whatever you wish. Take from our wealth whatever you wish. And he says that you give us whatever you want. It as though now our wealth is your wealth. So you take what you want, whatever remaining, that you give it to us. As though he's saying, O Prophet of Allah, nothing belongs to us. Everything now belongs to you. You give us whatever you want to. And what you take would be more better for us than what you leave behind. Everything of ours. Look at the devotion and look at the dedication. And then he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَإِنْ سِرْتَ إِلَىٰ بَرْكِ الْغَمَادِ لَنَسِرْنَا مَعَكْ. Barkul Ghamad is the name of a place very, very far away in the depth of Sham. If you have to travel right up to Barkul Ghamad, then we are not going to leave and abandon you for a single moment. We are going to be with you. This was what Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned. When this statement was made, the speech of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face glowed up. That's exactly what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to hear from Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided to proceed. He told the Sahaba, count yourselves here, how many people you are. The intention was to capture a caravan, not a war. The preparation from a war is different from capturing a caravan. Two different objectives. You can't go with a group of people that meant to capture a caravan and enter into a war. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, just count yourself, have a head count. And it happened to be, according to one narration, 313. Some of them said that the number of Badreen, the historians differ. Some of them said 314 15, some of them said 314, some said 315. Some of them even mentioned 313, excluding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then there was another Sahabi coming from far that made it 315. So when they mentioned 313, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a good omen and he said, so we are the same number as Ashabi Talut. Now Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about a war between the king of the time Talut and the oppressor of the time Jalut. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was in the army of Talut. And Allah refers to it in the Quran Kareem, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرْ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنُهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنِ اخْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. And then Allah says, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ. In the same incident, how Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam killed Jalut, he was in the army of Talut. They were in a small number, 313, but they overpowered the huge powerful army and the might of that time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned, we are also small in number, we are the same as the warriors in the army of Talut, and he took a good omen that Allah will also give us victory. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I will just highlight some major incidents that took place there that could serve as some inspiration for us and that could serve as some kind of lesson for us. The Sahaba had only 70 camels. And there were about 300, more than 300 people, so they had to share camels. Sometimes on one camel, three people. One person would ride, another two person would walk, and then they would have turns, and in that way, they would reach their destination. One camel was shared between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Which means, at time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ride, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk, Abu Lubaba would ride, Abu Lubaba would walk, Ali would ride, and then Rasulullah SAW and Abu Lubaba would walk. But Abu Lubaba and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were sensitive to the comfort of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told the Prophet of Allah, you're sharing the camel with us, but you carry on riding with it, we will walk in your turn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very thought-provoking statement, which is something for us to reflect and for our own Islam. At times, we like to be in the comfort zone and we want everybody else to make the sacrifices for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Ali and Abu Lubaba, you are not more stronger than me. Look at that. He didn't say, I'm more stronger than you. You are not more stronger than me. And I'm not more independent of the ajr of Allah than you. You are not more stronger than me. And I'm not more independent of the ajr and the reward of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Going out in the path of Allah, we make our own sacrifices and we seek our own ajr and closeness to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded, now on that side the kuffar were also coming. In Bukhari Sharif, in the second volume Kitab al-Maghazi, there's a very, very interesting incident that took place between Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umayyah ibn Khalaf were close business friends from the time of Jahiliyyah. So Sa'd, during this strained relationship between the Kuffar of Makkah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to go to Makkah Mukarramah. Now it was normal that when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh would go to Makkah Mukarramah, he would stay by Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And at time when Umayyah ibn Khalaf would come to Sham, he would stop in Madinah Munawwara, he would stay by Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was in Makkah Mukarramah, he told to Umayyah ibn Khalaf, he knew they had a strained relationship, and the likes of Ubay and the likes of Abu Jahl, they wouldn't allow him to make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. He says, look for me an ideal opportunity when I can make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and fulfill myself. So Umayyah ibn Khalaf, he chose midday. That's a time when people are indoors. And he told him to go and make tawaf at that time. Whether it was by mutual plan or it was a coincidence, that while Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was proceeding to the haram to make tawaf, Abu Jahl was there. So Abu Jahl asked Umayyah ibn Khalf, who is this? Not that he didn't know him, he knew Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. How come he's so openly and freely making tawaf at the Kaaba? Whereas he's the one that is giving refuge to Muslims in Medina. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was the leader of his own right. He may be in the land of the enemies, but he spoke out and he told to Abu Jahl, you stop me from making tawaf of the Kaaba, I'll stop your people's route going to Sham. Economic ties. There will be sanctions on you. You will not be able to go freely to Sham. You have to go through Medina. I'm the leader of Medina. You stop me here, I'll stop you there. This was a very harsh statement. Now, Kufara won. So Umayyah ibn Khalf came out in response to Abu Jahl, in defense of Abu Jahl. He told to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, this is our leader, don't talk loudly to him. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, as I mentioned, leader of his own right. He didn't care. He told to Umayyah ibn Khalf, you don't talk also, because regarding you, I heard Nabi Sa'd mention that you'll be killed. That was a shock for him. And they knew what Nabi Sa'd mentioned is true. It will come out to be true. This was something that he regretted and he was always conscious about. Anyway, Abu Jahl left his army to go to Medina Munawwara. So Umayyah ibn Khalf, it was behind his mind that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh told me that Muhammad is going to kill me. It shouldn't happen that this war becomes the means of my death. So he told to Abu Jahl, no, I'm not coming. Abu Jahl told him, you the leader. Gave him bribery with his high position. You the leader, you're not going to come, what the people will think. You're not going to come, nobody else will come. You our leader, finally we need your help, have support. Anyway, in order to look after his name, his fame, he prepared himself. His wife, Umayyah ibn Khalf's wife, told to him, where are you going with Abu Jahl to Medina? You don't remember what your Yathrabi brother have told, referring to Muhammad, that he's going to kill you? So why are you going? See, he said, I'm just going to, I bought a camel, and I'll just go for one manzil, two manzils, I'll just leave them, show my face, and I'll take a U-turn and I'll come back. So happened, when Abu Jahl and his army left to Medina Munawwara, Umayyah ibn Khalf all the time had it in his mind, after one manzil, I want to go back home. Second manzil, go back home. But Allah made it such, he landed up in Badr. And he got killed in Badr. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attitude in the battle of Badr initially was a khawf of fear. There's two positions, one is khawf, one is raja. Khawf means having the fear of Allah. And Raja means having hope. Initially, Nabi Karim Sa'sam's situation was a khawf, because he's the Nabi of Allah. It's a war about the very establishment and the creation of this dunya. It is a war, a criterion between haqq and batil, kufr and iman. And nothing else should happen. Nabi Karim Sa'sam was worried and concerned. Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions, whilst we were engaged in the war, on three occasions, I came to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the tent. And every time, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in sajda, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was only making this dua, I could hear Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Hearing Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pleading to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for victory in this battle. This was the initial stage until Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, it's enough. Allah will help you and Allah will assist you. You did what you're supposed to do. That is when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent revelation down promising to help Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. istastaghisuna rabbakum fastajaba lakum anni mumiddukum bi alfin min al malaika. Remember when you were beseeching Allah, and Allah tabaraka responded, and Allah told that I will help you. And then the verse goes, I will help you with 1,000 malaika. Another verse on Badr, Allah said, I will help you with 3,000 malaika. Another verse, I will help you with 5,000 malaika. Now Nabi Kareem said, came out. Almighty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take sand in your hand and throw it in the direction of the kuffar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shahatil wujuh, which means that may the faces of the kuffar be turned around. Nabi, it is the mu'jiza, miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe some threw that sand and the whole condition of the war turned the other direction. The kuffar, whoever got the speck of dust, never knew what was happening. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem paints pictures of how the kuffar, they were looking at the Muslims, they knew the Muslims were in a small number, but they're looking at the Muslims that they are like in double in number and triple in number. Who were they? Nothing but the malaika were there on earth to help and assist the Muslimin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then even mentioned on one occasion, told to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, there's he, look at him, that's Jibreel alayhi salam. Mounted on his animal with a sword in his hand. And like that, there were thousands of malaika in the Battle of Badr to help and assist the Muslimin in the Battle of Badr. Now, finally, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave victory to the Muslimin. 70 kuffar were killed and 70 of them were taken prisoners. Those that were killed, from there, about 24 of them, they were thrown into a well. In the Bukhari, in Kitab al-Maghadir, an incident is mentioned. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could proceed to Madina to Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out. Sahaba thought that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to probably relieve himself. It was an unusual direction. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by the well where the kuffar were thrown in. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the kuffar in the well. Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, O so and so person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the name of all the kuffar. Hal wajadtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqa? Wajada ma wa'adana rabbuna haqqa? Did you get what Allah promised you? Humiliation, disgrace, defeat, did you get it? Yes, we got what Allah promised us. Allah gave us victory. Umar radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you are addressing dead souls. They are dead. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ma antum bi asma'a lima aqulu minhum. Aw kama qal, that you are not hearing more than what they are hearing. Just as you are hearing me, what I'm addressing them, they are equally hearing me, what I'm telling to them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then addressed them. Then the second issue came about, how to deal with the prisoners of war. 70 prisoners of war, how to deal with them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba for their opinions. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, O Prophet of Allah, they are our family. Maybe Allah will destine for them one day hidayah. Today they are in kufr. Tomorrow you release them, free them. Tomorrow Allah will give them hidayah. They may just accept Islam and they are our family. So release them. Take some ransom and release them. Umar, what is your opinion? Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, every family member must take his family member and behead him with his own hands. Two different opinions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Abu Bakr Siddiq, O Abu Bakr, look at the wisdom of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Abu Bakr, your opinion how to deal with the prisoners is like what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَاللَّهِ. Whoever follows me, they are from me. And who disobeys me, then you are Ghafoor, you are Rahim. Didn't adopt one attitude, he considered both. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam make dua to Allah regarding his followers. إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah, if you punish them, then they are your slaves. You can do what you want to. And if Allah, if you forgive them, you are Ghafoor, you are Rahim. And then Nabi Sallam told to Umar, your example is the example of Nuh alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, after giving dawah for thousands of years, nobody accepts, with exception a few, he says, Rabbi la tazar min al-kafirin dayyara. Oh Allah, don't leave a single soul of the kafir, destroy all of them. Same, Umar radiallahu anhu's attitude to the harsh approach, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had it. But remember, that harsh approach came after exhausting all avenues of dawah. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua, Rabbana tmis ala amwalihim, washtud ala qulubihim, fala yu'minu hatta yarawu al-azab al-aleem. Oh Allah, wipe out their wealth, destroy them. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, oh Umar, your opinion is like what Nuh and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did. Anyway, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by the opinion of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, took fidya, ransom money from the prisoners. But Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reprimanded Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُسْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It was not appropriate for a Nabi of Allah until he would shed the blood of the kuffar, because they need to send a lesson to the kuffar. This is a war between iman and kufr, and iman needs to dominate on kufr. But this Almighty Allah Tabar gave first the option to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala reprimanded Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for that type of choice. But this was also taqdeer, and by divine design Allah had it such. Now, taking ransom money, fidya, the largest amount of money, of ransom money, was taken from Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time he did not accept Islam, and different people had to pay different amount of ransom monies. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, no, ransom money, fidya, was the largest, 100 oqiya, 100 gold coins. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm your uncle from the family, and the such a hefty fidya, ransom on me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and then he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I got nothing else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, there in the valley there, that what happened about that gold and that well that you have hid in the valley? Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was shocked to hear this. Nobody knows about that well that we hid, with the exception of me and my wife Umme Fazal. How come Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know about it? That became the turning point, and he said his shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala knew. He says he paid the ransom money. But then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, قُلْ لِمَنْ فِي أَيْدِيكُمْ مِنَ الْأَسْرَى يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, you know, when Abbas radiallahu ta'ala told, I'm paying so much of money, ransom money, fidya. So Allah told him that tell to the prisoners, if there's any good in you, there's any khair in you, whatever you have given, Allah will give you much more than that. Later in life, Abbas radiallahu became so rich and wealthy, he had 100 agents to conduct his business. He gave 100 oqiya. He had 100 agents to conduct his business. Later on, he regretted. He said, I hope the Rasul of Allah would have taken more fidya from me. So today, I would have had more businessmen, more agents with me. And not only that, you know, when riba became haram, the wealth of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was enormous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when riba became haram, Nabi Kareem mentioned, awwalu riba mawzu'un fil Islam, riba Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. The first riba that will be wiped out and deleted in Islam will be the riba, the interest that was due to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. Not the capital, the interest amount. And the amount that had to be given was 10,000 dinars. The interest amount. Now just imagine, what were the percentage? Leave that aside. But the interest amount was 10,000 dinars. Right? And one dinar, one gold coin, and one gold coin, when you work it out today, is 4.4 grams. So multiply that by 1,000, 44 kilograms of gold. Now imagine, what is the value of gold today? I think 1 kilogram of gold is like approximately ₹500,000. And you multiply that 44 kilograms, it comes to approximately at least 20 million rand. And now recently I heard the price of gold has shot up much more after the incident of the bricks and whatever has happened there. Now imagine what 44 kilograms of gold, and take into consideration the inflation value of 1,500 years, what Abbas Abdullah could have purchased with 44 kilograms of gold in the Arab Peninsula. Probably the entire Arab Peninsula could have purchased out. So he said that, I hope Nabi Sallallahu would have taken much more fidya from me, so that with the barakat of that, with the promise of Allah, would have had that, that or even more than that. Anyway, we proceed then. Another fidya was that of Hazrat Abul As radiallahu ta'ala, who, the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also taken as a prisoner of war. And his ransom money that came, then his wife, Mubarak, blessed daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she sent the necklace as a ransom money, as fidya, to release her husband. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that necklace. He thought of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that this is the mother of Zainab, Khadija. She gave it as a mehr, as a dowry, or as a preparation for the nikah. She has given it as a gift from her side. Nabi Kareem said, looked at that, Nabi Kareem said, teared. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if you'll allow, we'll give this necklace back. On condition, Abul As goes to Makkah and send my daughter Zainab to Medina Munawwara. He agreed on that condition, and then he went to Makkah and immediately sent Zainab radiallahu ta'ala to Madinatul Munawwara. And the last incident is Abu Jahl. He was the leader of the Kufar. In Makkah, he was a very rich, he was a very, very intelligent person. His title was Abul Hakam. He was the father of wisdom. Any problem, any predicament people were faced with, he was a person that would think on his feet. Very, very fast in thinking. And very decisive, really, rulings and decrees he would give. That's why he was known to be the father of wisdom. Intelligent person. Clever person. Genius of his time. He died was not muqaddar for him. He was deprived. He came in a battle of Badr. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala. He says, I was standing in a battle of Badr, and I saw on my right, I saw on my left. Normally in that situation, especially when you are in that predicament, you like to see somebody very strong and hefty on your right and your left, and probably a person that is well equipped and well armed. So I looked on my right in a battle of Badr, I saw one young fellow on my right. See, on my left, another young person. And I felt a little bit insecure. Two young people, anything has to happen to me, who's going to come to my defense? Suddenly one person told to me, Uncle, you know Abu Jahl. What are you going to do with Abu Jahl? If I see him, I want to kill him. And this was told to me quietly in the ear, so that the person on the right could not hear. Suddenly, the youngster on my right, he told me in my ears, Uncle, you know Abu Jahl. So what are you going to do with him? If I see him, I'm going to kill him. He's the enemy of the Rasul of Allah. And so he said that before that I felt insecure, but after I heard this, I felt a little bit right. I felt a little bit more stronger. With two powerful youngsters on my right hand side and my left. I saw Abu Jahl, I spotted him. I told the both of them, Daisy, the person you're looking for. And both of them sprang for Abu Jahl. And it was shortly thereafter, Abu Jahl was on the ground. He hadn't yet died, but he was on the ground, badly wounded. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, who would go and see what happened to Abu Jahl? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went. Looked around, scanned the area, battlefield. He came across Abu Jahl. He was still alive, but badly wounded. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud sat on him and told him, Anta Abu Jahl? You Abu Jahl, you know, you were that big, Abul Hakam, you were the mighty person that you claim to be. So, he asked, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who attacked me? And, فَلَوْ غَيْرَ أَكَّارَ قَتَلَنِي. I hope, now look at his pride and arrogance. He's about to die. But look at his pride and arrogance. He says that I hope that somebody besides farmers would have attacked me. But if those two youngsters, now in other words, he wanted somebody of his like to attack him. And then he told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud wanted to behead him, take his head out. So he told to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that when you take my head out, then you must take it out right in line with the shoulders, not above, so that when my head is taken out and put placed on the ground, it looks high. Look at the pride, look at the takabbur he had in him. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the kufr of Abu Jahl was bigger than the kufr of Fir'aun. And that is why I mentioned that Abu Jahl, Fir'aun hadhil ummah. And in fact, Fir'aun, he at least displayed humbleness at the time of his death. He displayed humbleness. Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharaq, qala amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel. Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharaq, when they were about to drown, he showed humbleness. Yet he was the person who claimed the divinity. He was the person that claimed Allah. But when it came for his death and he was about to drown, amantu, I brought iman. He showed humbleness and humility. Fir'aun didn't do that. What Fir'aun said, take my head out from the shoulder so that when it's up, then it looks like still I'm the leader and the big of them all. So that's a pride and that is the kabbur. But you see what pride and what takabbur does to a person, finishes a person. What we understand from this entire lesson of Badr, hidayat is muqaddar. We make an effort, Allah appreciates that effort and Allah preserve our iman. And we also understand this was Yawmul Furqan. It was a day when there was a criterion between the truth and the batil, where iman and kufr had to clash, and Allah Tabar gave success, victory to iman. And this is something we should be inspired with, and we should also understand in Tansurullah yansurkum. You help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. That when you help the deen of Allah, then Allah will keep you firm at the time when you need to be kept firm most, that is time at the time of a mouth. That if a person keeps on going out in the path of Allah, helping, assisting the cause of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, at the time of maut, Allah will guard the person iman, the person will die in the state of shahada. May Allah grant all of us true, sincere, dedicated, loyal love for the religion of Islam, and Allah keep us among the ardent followers and supporters of the religion of Islam. Live with Islam, die with Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.